This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
You know, some months back, what Minister Dosins are pouring, and when I experienced Pastor Victoria Orenzi, as she got down, I went to meet her. Check your calendar. You have to find a date for us. You know, when you see some anointings, you know you need to put it into the stew you are cooking, so that the flavor will be right. God bless you. Because listen. There is singing, there is grace, there is anointing, there is inheritance. Some things you can only get by sacrifice. You follow what I'm saying here? And what we experienced here is sacrifice. All right? And so you need to commend that God here. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Once again, please, if you are told by your campus pastor, you are to be ordained. Not that you desire to be ordained. You are told. You know, people will laugh and think that we are joking. But if you've been in this thing for long, you will know that you can announce ordination and people will just come and say, God called me. I knew I was called. Let me join. Okay? And they can don't let me say that before they go and activate it. They can activate Jacob. That even if they don't know who they are laying hands on, when they lay hands, I will collect my own. All right. So please, if you are informed by your campus pastor, all right, please, you should be sitting to the left. So because I saw all of you, I changed so that I to appear as an ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, our first session this evening is from a teacher of God. So how many of you, well, most of you are here. All right, we are here this morning and you experienced her session. That's profound teaching. Profound. All right. And she's a part of WAFPEC now. You know she's a part of it's a part of WAFPEC, an essential element in the conference. You know that now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. People you call and your heart will not beat. All right. Who you know will teach the revelation of God's word. And people will be profoundly blessed. So let's rise to our feet and welcome to the podium Senior Pastor of the Carpenters Church from Port Harcourt, Pastor Nkechi.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord Jesus, please. Lift your hands to the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Faithful Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
I need to just get this out. Can someone touch the keyboard, please? Pastor putting Pastor Victoria before me. And the kind of anointing that is present. There are miracles already taking place. I know you know that. But sometimes you need to hear what you already know. So this is not about time or schedule or what you've planned. This is about following the Spirit of God. Glory be to God. Just lift your hands, everyone. Lift your hands. Some very impossible things are quietly being melted away in this presence, quietly. I know it like I know my name. There's someone who breaks out in boils, skin condition. You just break out, comes, break out. That's it, it's gone. That mountain has melted under this presence. It's gone. Your skin is so clear and smooth. I didn't say your skin will be. Your skin is so clear and smooth. Somebody with a periodic nosebleed, and it's a symptom of something bigger. God said to tell you, not only have the nosebleed stopped, but from the root, that problem is gone. It's already gone, just like that. Someone with a chest constriction, you feel like you've got a band around your chest. You take deep breaths, and you just can't seem to get it fully. Take a deep breath now. You can take a full breath. Because those bands have been broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Someone with a severe ulcer. So severe, there's someone who can't eat beans. I don't know why you can't eat beans, but start eating beans now. That problem, whatever causes that reaction when you eat beans, is gone. And you like beans in the name of Jesus Christ. The person with a severe ulcer, you can't eat anything that has any kind of spice in it. That thing is healed. I didn't say it will be healed. Ulcer healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Someone with a vaginal discharge. It's such a smelly discharge. It smells so bad when it comes out of your body. And oh, glory be to Jesus. That's it. The mercy of God, the compassion of God heals you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody with a pile condition. That pile condition is gone. That's it. No surgery needed. Oh, Jesus, he's not done. He's gone, completely gone. There are specific people God is speaking to here. A fibroid just melted away. You tell me, well, fibroids don't melt away. Yes, they do, by the God that I know. Fibroid just melted away in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody who had a heart condition. I didn't say you have. You had a heart condition. God said to tell you, just praise me this week. Whenever you can run, run. When you can jump, jump. Those symptoms will fly completely away in the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands. A swollen wrist is healed by the power of God. A swollen wrist is healed by the power of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. The anointing is so strong in this place. Worship him, please. And don't wait for your case to be called. I cannot call anybody's case now. Just collect it, collect it, collect it. Take it, take it, take it. Say, Lord, I receive it. Don't be in a healing anointing and let your life begin, remain the same. Take it. Nobody needs to touch you. Nobody needs to anoint you. God is right there walking through the aisles. He's right there walking through the aisles. Just take it. Whatever it is, 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 whatever it is melted. An ear just opened, unblocked in the name of Jesus Christ. That is it. It's gone. Just check yourself through this whole conference. Keep checking yourself. It is gone. Completely. There is a breast lump that just disappeared in the name of Jesus Christ. A breast lump just disappeared, melted away in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can somebody give God a shout of praise? Give him praise. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. Thank you, Lord. We honor you. Thank you, Lord. We give you honor and praise. Good God, you are not done with us yet. We give you praise. This is just the beginning. You've got so much in store for us. Nobody's life, nobody's story, nobody's body will remain the same after this conference. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord said to tell you what you already know. All your prayers, I heard them. I didn't just hear them, I answered them. If you believe that, give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 If you can sit down, sit down. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Everybody say okay. You will preach today. Amen. Okay, I'm obviously going to divide my message into three and preach one part. That's fine. We do what the Holy Spirit wants. Okay? When Pastor Boji called me and said, we are here again for our break, that was his invitation. He sent me a text and said, we are here again. I said, I'm here too. Now that the matter ends. I was in the middle of writing a book, and I was going to take my time as usual, just write the book. And then he told me the theme of the message, and I set myself a target, and I said, Lord, help me with all my schedule, finish this book before WAFBEC. I don't believe it's a coincidence that he's calling me for this meeting. The theme is on faith, and I was in the middle of, I was halfway gone through a book. The book came from the printers today. So I'm personally excited about this because many sleepless nights went into this to meet this target. The book is titled, My Faith Like My Father's. My Faith Like My Father's. I rarely do this, but I personally want to recommend this book to you. Few copies came out to make this target. More are being printed, but the copies are at the back at the bookstand outside. Get yourself a copy. Get yourself two or three. In a short time, the e-copy will be on Amazon. I want everyone that can to read this book, because I believe God targeted this book for us at this time. Our church hasn't even seen it. It came into my hands today, just as I asked God. So this is a WAFBEC book. Amen and amen. And I have 5 copies for 5 people. No. Well, he got it. Okay. Okay, that was fast. But they've all gone. Somebody say amen. Some of us in front were dingy. After the guy, you go and buy your own outside. Amen. Okay, I have 35 minutes, so let's do what we can in the time I have. We talked about the word impossible in the morning, meaning not able to occur, exist, or be done. When you hear that word, like we said, normally it brings a finality to it. But we found out that that finality doesn't exist for us. We can live in the possible zone. Is that true? We know the triggers to pull to live in the possible zone. So let's look at this now. What's a mountain? To move a mountain is defined in the English, listen, as to achieve spectacular and apparently impossible results. To move a mountain is to achieve spectacular and apparently impossible results. Matthew 17:20 and other scriptures tell us that faith, as a mustard seed, if you have it and you say to this mountain, move from here to there, it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:2, if I have all faith so that I could move mountains but not have love, I am nothing. So do you all agree with me that faith moves mountains? That's why we're here, right? Now turn with me to Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4, verse 6. He answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and you shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." I want to now read from the Amplified. He said to me, "This addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him, you shall become a plain, a mere molehill, and you shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of people crying grace, grace to it." So we saw faith moves mountains, but here we see grace bringing mountains to a plain. So which is it? Does faith move mountains, or does grace move mountains? The scriptures don't contradict themselves. And often we focus on faith moving mountains. But let's, in the time I have, let's just take a quick look, a few things, as to where grace gets involved, because this is not a lie. It says with shouts of grace, the mountain becomes a plain. That's moving a mountain. But we establish that faith also moves mountains. So like we know, there must be some kind of a marriage between the two. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 16. And this book I just gave out is a study on Romans 4, 16 to 21. So let's go to Romans 4, 16. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed." From the Amplified. "Therefore, inheriting the promise depends entirely on faith." Somebody say, "Depends entirely on faith." I'm jumping. "That it may be given as an act of grace, so that the promise will be legally guaranteed." It is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise is sure and legally guaranteed. If you don't write down anything else and I have to leave, write down these six statements. Write down this. Very important. Write them down. Number one, grace is the desired end result. It is of faith that it might be according to. In order to get to grace, it is of faith. So grace is the desired end result. It's grace you're getting to. But it's got to be by faith in order that it might be by grace. According to grace. Number two, grace cannot express itself if faith is absent. Grace cannot express itself if faith is absent. Number three, faith is only true faith if it is according to grace. Faith is only true faith if it is according to grace. Number four, the efficacy, am I saying it too fast? The efficacy of your faith, how efficient your faith is revealed in the revelation of the availability of grace. In other words, your faith cannot be efficient if you don't know grace is present. The efficacy of your faith is revealed in your revelation of the availability of grace. That's number what now? Four, right? Number five, without this revelation of the grace of God, your faith is paralyzed and impotent. Without this revelation of the grace of God, your faith is paralyzed and impotent. It is only when it is according to grace that the promise is sure and legally guaranteed. If I was to teach on grace, I would need like 7 days. Like 10 sessions a day. And I won't finish. So we can't obviously teach on grace. Most of us know the definitions. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is the ability to do what God has called you to do. Like as though it was God doing all of that. I want us to look at, briefly, an aspect of grace that will really support your ability to walk by faith. An aspect of what is grace. Because we say grace, 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 by the grace of God. Sometimes we say by the grace of God in a defensive way. Hi, it's by the grace of God. We're just here, Sha. We're managing. If you understand the grace of God, you won't say it that way. Should I continue? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 14. I'm going to read it from two versions. 14 and 15. And by their prayer for you, my regular version, who longed for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Everybody say exceeding grace of God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I want to read it from the Phillips translation. Do you have the Phillips translation? If you don't, listen. Listen, please. And yet further, men will pray for you and feel drawn to you because you have obviously received a generous measure of the grace of God. Thank God for his indescribable generosity to you. Indescribable generosity, generous measure. We're talking about grace. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. From the Passion Translation, that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. Philip's translation, so that we can actually understand something of God's generosity towards us. What word do you keep seeing where grace is concerned? Huh? I can't hear you. If you perceive God as economical and you don't know his generous nature, you can't walk in faith that moves mountains. What does it mean to be generous? A generous person always gives more than even you need. They can't help themselves. If you're a generous person and someone comes to your house and you're serving them food, I'm expecting one person. I don't cook one cup of rice. I know that the person will eat one cup of rice and be satisfied, but that's not generosity. You see, there's a silence in the place. Because some of you will cook half cup. We'll cook like 2 cups of rice. You serve the food. And you don't dish food in a plate and say, take it, like your mama put. Serve it. A generous person is not just wealthy, but has a generous heart to give more than you need. They can't help themselves. God cannot help but give you more than enough. He doesn't know how to do it any other way. The generosity of God is underplayed and actually not recognized by many believers. So you have this approach of stinginess. Some people are wealthy, but they are stingy. Watch this. Some have a generous heart, but they don't have money. God's own is not like that. He has more than enough, and he's a generous God. So you first of all begin to understand. Remember, it is of faith that it might be according to God's generosity. So if you don't know how generous God is, and you think God is limited in some way, some people think God limits things around us to train us. Any parent that trains their child by not giving them food has mental problems. Not that you don't have food. You have. But you withhold food as discipline for your child. There's something fundamentally wrong with you. And maybe your upbringing was off balance. You can't use food to stab a child and say, I'm training you. God doesn't do that. But inherently, we don't expect generosity from people. How can we then even expect it from God? There are skits going around of Christmas period. You carry money and give someone. And when they see you with the money, they don't believe the money. And they think it's Ojuju you want to do, and they start running. Because under normal circumstances, nobody just carry $1 million and give to you. Our mindset is completely upside down. Somebody say, God is a generous God. God's grace is his generosity. God's generosity never goes out of stock. There's nothing you ask God for that will tell you that's finished. The shelf is empty. You've come again. I just healed 10 million people yesterday. I beg you, don't do. It doesn't happen. We're going to begin to learn how your mindset must be right. Must be right in order to receive from God by faith. I don't have time to read the whole scriptures. I'm going to jump many things. But I want to show you something. Which is this all I show you today? It's fine. Let me skip all this. We know the story of the prodigal son. Write down Luke 15. You read it yourself. Luke 15, 11 to 13. Write it down. And 20 to 32. Okay. Maybe I should read it. Should I read it? They're saying yes. Now when you see time up, you won't be the ones. Pastor Victoria came and made me chop my time. You see what she had the Holy Spirit did. Okay, let's go. Luke 15, 11. Okay, let's go. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. Everybody say two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many days I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should be merry, make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The Kenneth Woo says in verse 12, the younger one said to the father, give me directly the share of the estate which falls to me. And he distributed to them his wealth. Do you agree the father was wealthy? That word livelihood means his sustenance, his goods. His sustenance, his goods, his means of living, his possessions, his property. So do we agree the father was wealthy? Do we agree he had a lot of resources? Was the father a generous man? How do you know that? How do you know that? He gave him what he asked for. First of all, let me ask you a question. Do you see anywhere in the story that the father reacted to what the guy did? You know, we teach this story and show the prodigal son as a bad boy. And we use it to teach mercy. I think I even used it in Wafbeck 2 years ago to teach mercy, which is not true, correct, 100%. Nothing wrong with that. But did the father react to what the boy did? If you study some of the words used, I don't have time to go into that. It shows that the father immediately shared it. Does that sound like somebody who was angry at what the boy did? What really did the boy do? He did the He did the unusual thing of asking for his inheritance before time. Right? It was unusual. Let me ask another question. If he took that inheritance and invested it and became a billionaire with it, will we be calling him prodigal son today? So, wait, follow me. So where prodigal take enter? It's not, prodigal did not enter at the beginning of the story. So the prodigality was not in his taking what belonged to him. And the father was generous. I believe the father was, finally, somebody has got the mindset of grace. Finally, somebody is ready to do the unusual and take what is here. Take, my son, take. There was nothing wrong in what he did. It was unusual. Because according to the culture then, he would have maybe waited or something, but he got one third. Notice, the father divided into three, not two. Watch this. He had two sons, but he divided into three. Why? The first son got double portion. I'm trying to show you the power of the mindset of grace and generosity for your faith. This older son we'll investigate soon had double portion. This boy who understood two things which you must understand. What your father has and that your father is generous. Went boldly to take it. I believe it's the neighbors who quarreled. This guy, boy, said, now, wow. You know, sometimes busybody, neighbors, you enter your matter, it's not their business. The father was saying, finally, I've got an industrious son who is ready. Another sign that he was generous was how quickly he threw a party. Spontaneous. He threw a party. Another sign he was generous was when the boy came to himself. What did he say? Why am I here? My father's servants have more than enough. Some people don't know how to treat servants. In case there are any Christian women here who do all that Danina slave nonsense, be delivered in the name of Jesus. Because you're actually not very smart. These people are taking care of your children. Then they come back and they'll sleep in the kitchen on mat with the cockroaches. Because they're not worthy to sleep on mattress with your children. But they are worthy to carry your children when you're at work. That's why they're always pressing your children. The nanny had more than it. The boy was in the pigsty. So what am I doing here? Say, my father is a generous man. Even the slaves are rich people under my father. So you can draw a story analogous to grace, putting the father as a symbol of the father. He was a generous man. And this boy knew it. And he went off and collected from him. It seems, like I said, there was an eagerness from the father to give everything he had to somebody who was finally willing to give to him. The boy had a twofold revelation, who the father is and what the father had. Who your father is, like she sang, and what the father had. Your God is not stingy. Your God does not ration. If you ask him, I've shown you this here before, I'm showing you this church. If you ask him to pour a glass of water for you, when he gets to the edge, other people lift and stop. God will be pouring. He will keep pouring. He can't help himself. That's the grace of God. Let's now switch to the older son. At the end of this, you ask yourself, which one I be? As I will say, which one I be? Are you the older or the younger? What is your mindset of grace? When you are ticking off the boxes with your mindset of faith, check the boxes on your mindset of grace. Because it is of faith that the end result, it might be according, all the supply is in grace. All the provision is in grace. The money is in grace. The healing is in grace. The husband is in grace. The wife is in grace. The house is in grace. It is of faith that it might be. We have access by faith into this grace that we are standing. So what's your mindset? The older son, bear in mind, he had two portions. He came back from slaving. First problem, he had party. Listen, he asked, why are we throwing a party? I'm waiting for you to get it. Why are we throwing a party? Friends, must there be a why? Today is Christmas. We are going to eat chicken. Honey, buy ice cream for the children. Christmas, you do it. January, February, March. Ice cream does not come near your house. April, May. Then Junior's birthday is in June. Today is Junior's birthday. Ice cream and chicken. July, August, September. His sister's birthday is in October. Today is Ngozi's birthday. Ice cream and chicken. 3 times a year, there's a why. Why can't you just come home? Today, let's go out and have ice cream and chicken. Why, daddy? Because I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy. I got a raise. Come on, baby, let's go and jollificate. There's no reason. The boy came, he was angry. Okay, so I've been working. Why are we having party now? Why are we having party? This boy had 2/3. It means, listen, the fatted calf he was quarreling that they killed was his own. The Bible said the man shared all his livelihood. So daddy was just watching the investment profile of his sons. Prodigal went and scattered his own. That's when prodigal entered the story. There was no prodigal at the beginning. The other guy was walking, angry that the calf that was his own was being killed. Mindset of grace. The younger son said to his father, "Father, listen. Father, give me." The older son said, "Father, you did not give me." Mindset of grace. Unusual request. Breaking all the statistics. Going whether anybody thinks it's right or not. "Father, I may have a third class. Give me this job." You are a generous God. You are my father. You can't help yourself. Your grace is what I don't deserve. "Father, give me." And the father said, "Praise God. Somebody is willing to take. Here you go, boy." By default, listen. Another sign that the father did what he did willingly was, listen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If he was reluctant in giving the younger son, he wouldn't have given the older son. Don't mind your brother. I'm keeping your own for you. Oh, you know, God. The Bible says he shared among them. Finally, maybe you should take and go. Go and make use of what I'm giving you. This one now came back. He owned everything. So when the father said to him, "Son, all that I have is yours," he wasn't pacifying him. He was telling him the truth. "Why are you saying you did not give me?" How many of you here are sitting here? You did not give me. I've been praying. You did not give me. Without a mindset of grace, you can't take from God what already belongs to you. I came with breaking news. God is a generous God. My God likes to slap me to the left with goodness. And when I'm recovering, hits me on the right. I'm trying to understand. I bump into it in front and back. He can't do it any other way. But if your mind can't take it, you can't receive it. "Father, give me, yet you did not give me. Father, give me, yet you did not give me. Which are you? You should be the younger son. I want to see some boldness and audacity in the house. It is of faith that it might be according to grace. If it is not according to grace, it's not real faith. And that's what's choking a lot of us. We're trying to back up faith. Grace is the resource bank of God. Faith is your access. But how can you access a bank you don't know exists? You must know the bank. You must know the bank is there. Grace Unlimited International Bank. Money no they finish from that bank. Money no they finish from that bank. Money no they finish from that bank. In Nigeria, CBN money they finish. They were giving 5,000 in Port Harcourt during Christmas. 5,000. Even one chicken, I cannot buy it. It's 5,000. That's the cash, GTB, all of them. They're all giving 5,000. Grace Unlimited Bank resources. The money that they finish. If I write a check of $1 million. Some things are slip of tongue. If I write a check of $1 million on that bank, normally in normal banks by mathematics, the number should, if the balance was 10 million, I draw 1 million, what's it going to remain? Grace Bank, I draw 1 million, money go there as a day. Pastor Vizia can't draw her own, money go there as a day. If you don't know that, you can't go like the younger son. Say, Father, give me. God is a generous God. And let us begin to be generous people. There's too much stinginess in the body of Christ. Would you count? Come on. It's not generosity, it's not a state of your pocket. It's a state of your heart. Your pocket will catch up. Your heart will drive your pocket. Your pocket will catch up. You can give generously out of your little. That little will multiply. As I told you now about sharing food, somebody here was thinking, like, because you're not getting money now. Your own don't finish there. You have to change that mindset. From when I was sleeping on mattress with my husband, and we had wrapper around our windows. Just before they were born. We had like 3 years before they were born, or even four. We didn't want to enter and bring child to suffer. So we suffered for 3 years. And they now trek to America to go and born the first one. Like I told you last Monday. My point is that even then, if you came to my house and I had this little soup left, I would bring out the whole soup. Now I can give buckets of soup to families. Your pocket will always catch up. Yeah. But you must know who your father is. It is of faith that it might be according to grace. So faith is the check with which you draw from the grace bank. I have 5 minutes more. Let me end with this testimony. I'd like to keep to my time. I hope you've gotten something so far today. I gave you 30% of my notes, but it's fine. In 1990, when I talk like this, I might be sounding very old. I'm 55 next month. But I'm just trying to push you, I'm not that old. You know how old people say in 1960s? Man, please, I'm not like that. So in 1990, I tried to remember which year it was now. I think it was 93. Yes, we started our company. Martha and I left the international company we were working for. Together at that time, our joint salary then was $11,000 in 1993. One person did not quit. Two people did not quit. We heard God tell us to quit, and both of us quit at the same time. My mother almost had a panic attack. two of us quit. I mean, when you are earning 11,000, you are spending like 10,500. So don't think there was now savings of 1 million. But like when you are young and a little foolish, you don't have much savings. So before long, we were broke, having quit. And we started a company. All of you doing startup. This is how to do your startup. By going to the Grace Unlimited Resource Bank. So Meg and I traveled to the United States. I believe that was my first trip to the U.S., if I'm not wrong. We went to the United States in 1993 to see a company in Texas that supplies equipment for the oil and gas thing, oil services company we're starting from scratch. We went to meet them and just shared the vision of the company. We're not looking for anything but a partnership to get his equipment and introduce ourselves to him. The old man then was so blown away by our presentation. They said to us, forget this startup. Just drop it. Both of you engineers, come and work for me. I'll just move you to, jackpot you to Texas. Come and live here and just work for me. You are just too intelligent. Two of you together, husband and wife, please just follow me. Bear in mind, it was very tempting. But the vision was bigger in our hearts. I wasn't in the ministry then. I was just serving God. The call hadn't come upon me then, but I wasn't aware of it. So I was still doing engineering stuff. So we both went. We thanked him for his generous offer for the job. I told him we were bent on starting this company. It's what we wanted. The company is 30 years old now. It's what we wanted to do. So we left. Came back and miraculously got a contract with a company. This testimony is in that book I just gave out. Got a contract with a company in Nigeria. And we now had till January of the following year, 94, to mobilize for that job. Had no money. Everybody said they had no money. So by the time it got to December 1993, it was obvious there was no money. So we scraped the remaining of the money we had and bought one ticket. I could not go with him for my husband to go to London first to meet a Nigerian investor who promised to give us money to buy the equipment. This guy had run to London after the whole June 12th Abiola thing. He just attacked. So we bought a ticket to London, and the idea was that after going to London, we'll now buy, get the money, and then move on to Texas and buy the equipment. That was our plan. So my husband went with nothing in his pocket to literally trek to London. We did a lot of trekking that time. Got to London, and the investor disappointed him. Oh, he didn't come. He said, everybody said, thank God. Sometimes some disappointments are good. The guy said, I'm sorry you came late. I've put all my money into the stock market. So Michael was there thinking, what do we do? And we decided, just go on to America for what it's worth. Everybody said he had no money. We went on to America. Got to there, was picked up, taken to his hotel. He spent the whole night, he didn't sleep that night, preparing a powerful presentation, like a man who came with money to buy equipment. I'm talking about equipment worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, then, 1993. So he went. He went and got for the appointment with the old man. As he walked into the man's office, on the man's table was a big file from the State Department. Guess what was boldly written on the file? Nigeria. Husband's heart started beating. Obviously, the man had called the State Department. He was a very important man, something old man. He was known, good businessman. To find out about this country, that these people were coming to come and buy equipment from him. He believed he had the money. So, when I came, he saw Nigeria. He said, hey, what thing they want to talk inside this? It cannot be good. Even in 1993, now if you see Nigeria, it would not be good. Then it was also bad. This was post-Abiola now. People, it was not a good story. Nigeria was there. So Nigeria was staring at him on the file. He came in. The man says, can I help you? Oh, it's you again and all that. Let me just finish my testimony, please. Just 2 minutes. So he came in. And the man now said to him, yeah, what are you here for? He said he wants to buy equipment. Listed the equipment. Wonderful. How much? You got everything. The man asked him, so how are you going to pay? And I said, yeah, that's the thing I'm here for. Yes, I know you're going to buy the equipment. So How are you going to pay? He said, I have a proposition. You will give it to me like that. Father, give me. You will give it to me like that. You will ask some interest. Listen, you will use your money and ship it to Nigeria. He had no money. He had no money. We were sleeping on mattress with wrapper as our curtain. Say, you will. The man says, okay. All of the equipment. Say, yes. Say, the second part. You see that company there down the road? They have another piece of equipment we need. You don't sell it. You will use your money and buy that one. I'm telling you the truth, 1993. You were under intense teaching by Pastor Charles Omofoma. You were full of faith and grace. You say, you will that man there, you will go with your money and buy his a third party. You will join into the one you are shipping and you will use your money and ship it to Nigeria. Man say, okay. Then when we now work for this company and they pay us, we will now pay you back every dime. We are people of integrity, him out. Man said, so you have no money. He said, no, I'm not paying, I have nothing. But you buy them and bring them. Man said, step outside, let me meet with my board. And then he said, thank you, Lord Jesus. They met with the board. The board sat. There were four of them. One of them refused. The remaining two joined with the chairman. And they agreed. I said they agreed. That is how the company started. They shipped hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment free. They didn't know us before. Five shipments to Nigeria on their bill. We did the jobs and paid them back every dime. And those people became our partners for years. Till now, that chairman is dead now. His son, who is now in charge of the company, is still a personal friend of ours. They have never seen or met Nigerians. We didn't go there as Nigerians. That's a literal example of, I know who I am. I get backing. We went there backed by the Father, backed by the Son, and backed by the Holy Ghost. And we didn't have money in the banks, NatWest Bank, Fleet Bank, Bank of America, whatever bank it was, we had money in the grace, resource, unlimited bank. Rise to your feet. What is before you? Start up. You're hustling. You almost turned to a business prostitute. Hustling. God has said to me many times, you're not waiting for money for that project. Ask me for the next dance with my spirit and dance it. The next dance with my spirit will bring the breakthrough you need. The next dance with my spirit will bring what you want. Today, if you don't remember anything else, God is a generous God. Have a mindset of grace and a mindset of generosity, and let your confession be, Father, give me, not you did not give me.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.